الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين. صدق الله العظيم.
In the previous session, we were talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in to close the windows towards the masjid. Inshallah, I will mention the reason for closing those windows at the end of our today's lecture and at its appropriate time, inshallah. Basically, we were talking about the life history of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And we talked about his life history up to the time that him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara. When we go back to the history to try to find out what did Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu do after the migration, after the hijrah? And if we were to talk about those details, we will be talking exactly about the life history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we find Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu everywhere with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it's a battlefield, at home, on the streets, inviting people to Islam, wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, we find Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So talking about Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu's life history is just, in other words, talking about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since inshaAllah, later on, we will be talking about the seerah, so I will skip all of those details at this time. Because if we talk about Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu in the Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Badr, in the Battle of Khandaq, wherever, he's with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's part of the seerah then. And subhanAllah, a person whose life is so strongly attached with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much he must have benefited from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the company of the great Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. if a Sahabi who came and spent a moment with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who was not even a Muslim, he came and he took the Shahada and spent a moment with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is considered better than the whole Ummah. Imagine a person whose life was attached with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how great that person was. And this is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith before his death, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there were no restrictions from our iman, I would have chosen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as my best friend, a type of friend that people will remember always, this type of friendship, but I stay within the limits of the Sharia. My friendship is within the limits of the Sharia, and therefore I would say that Abu Bakr, all I can say about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that no one has done more favors to me and no one helped me in this life more than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. This was one of the last statements and one of the last khutbahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 9th year of Hijrah, one of the most important events in the history of Islam took place that shook the greatest kingdoms in the world at that time. That was the Battle of Tabuk. Battle of Tabuk, basically, it did not take place. There was no battle that took place at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that King Hercules, the superpower of that time, the Roman Empire, had prepared a large army to attack Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, as it is part of our deen, wa shawirhum fil amr. Consult the Sahaba, consult your companions in every matter. So he had a mashura with them, and they all decided that we should go out and in fact try to get to their country and fight them over there instead of allowing them to come into our town. In those days, it was something unimaginable for people to try to fight those two superpowers, the Roman and the Persian Empire. Something impossible to people's understanding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to prepare for the battle. And since that was the time when the largest army was needed in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for a lot of donations also. And that is the battle of Tabuk. I don't want to go into the details of the battle of Tabuk, inshallah, some other time. As I said, we will talk about the Sira, we will talk about these things. But the reason I mentioned the battle of Tabuk, because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started encouraging Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jma'in to spend their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the time when Umar radiallahu anhu thought, this time I have more wealth than ever before. And this is the time that I can beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in doing some good deeds and getting closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, as soon as I heard that khutbah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to give donations for the battle of Tabuk, I went home and I got half of everything that I had at my home. If he had two plates at home, one plate out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. $1,000, $500 are going there. Two blankets, one blanket is going out. Whatever he had, half of it was given out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And to my understanding, up to that time, to my imagination, I was doing the greatest work I could do up to that day in my Islam, because I'm beating Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest person in the Ummah. I'm beating him today and giving the donation. He said, I went there. And I gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, how much did you leave for your family, O Umar? Umar radiallahu anhu said, very proudly, I said, Ya Rasulullah, I brought half of my wealth and other half I left it for my family. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was after Umar radiallahu anhu in the line to give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he passed his wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave his donation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abu Bakr, what did you leave for your family? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I left the name of Allah and the name of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them. That's enough for them. Otherwise, everything else that they had, I brought it to you, Ya Rasulullah. Not a single penny, not a single date at his home. He brings everything and gives it out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet the reply is not, Ya Rasulullah, I brought everything. He said, I left the name of Allah and the left of His Messenger, the name of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my family, and that's enough for them. Subhanallah. There has to be that iman, that this is enough for us. With all of what we have, and we don't even spend it in the path of Allah, and I'm not even saying we should, that we should spend everything in the path of Allah, but with everything that we have, yet we don't have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen to me tomorrow? How will I pay my bills tomorrow? I'm totally dependent on what I have in my hand and what I can get tomorrow, but not on the one who's giving me and who's my provider. The difference in relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference in relationship of our iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much trust we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really for us, the believers, the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes us turn away from that great God and turn our face to someone else in the world? One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq. This is our iman, that He is Ar-Razzaq. And that simply means, if it is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else can be Ar-Razzaq in the world. If He is Rahman and He is Rahim, there is no other Rahman and Rahim in the world. Because the attributes of Allah means they belong to Him alone. And He is the highest in that attribute. He is the main one who has these qualities and His attributes. Turning away from that Razzaq and trying to find rest anywhere else, it's really not knowing who's our Allah. I don't want to use any other word. If we think about it ourselves, it's much more than that. If our children will turn away from us and tell us that the other people are favoring me more than you do, you had an argument, someone else was favoring your son, and you were opposing your son in that, for that subject, for that matter. Later on, he gets upset, he says, I don't want to stay with you, I'm going to live somewhere else, because the other person was favoring you more than you. Imagine what we would say to our children at that time. How would we try to remind them all the things that we have done for them, that son, you were wrong at that time. That's the only reason I said, you're wrong, otherwise, this is what I have done for you. And turning away from our Razzaq, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and going to someone else, trusting someone else,
it's really shamelessness. And really, if we look at it from the other side,
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed one thing to all the human beings. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. He guaranteed the sustenance that every human being will get it. But the a'mal, the good deeds, he asks us for it. He's not asking us for any rizq, for any food, for any wealth. He says, I need from you good deeds, and I will give you this. Subhanallah, the thing that he's asking us, that he needs from us, and he wants to see it from us, we are not providing it. And the thing that he says, I'll give it to you anyway, we run after it.
It's just the difference in faith and iman.
So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he brought everything that he had in his home. That was the same 9th year when for the first time in the history of Islam, Hajj was performed according to the Sharia of Islam. That was the 9th year of Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not go for that Hajj. And therefore he sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the Amir for Hajj. So the first Hajj that was performed in the history of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the Amir for that Hajj. He was leading the Hajj on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every step proving now, as we are getting closer to the 11th year of the Hijrah, which was the year of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, every step is proving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assigning a person for the Khilafah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the Ummah the hint that this is the Amir. This is the person I have chosen to be the Amir. When I was not able to go for Hajj on my behalf, I'm sending him as the Amir for Hajj. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led that Hajj. As I said, this was in the 9th year of Hijrah. And again, I would like to remind, and I'm not going to go into those details at this time, that remember, this was the first Hajj that was performed under the laws of Islam, according to the Sharia of Islam. When we try to connect the Eid with the Hajj, for 7 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the 2nd year of the Hijrah, he was performing the Eid in Medina Munawwara. But in Islam, up to that time, there was no Hajj established. In the 9th year of Hijrah, that was the first Hajj that was performed according to the laws of Islam and under the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 10th year of Hijrah, we all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Hajj, and that was the first and the last Hajj in Islam for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is called Hajjatul Wada'. And we will leave those details also for this year. Now, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from that Hajj, we know that Hajj is in the month of Dhul Hijjah. Then comes the month of Muharram and the month of Safar. During the month of Safar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he went to Jannatul Baqiyah, the cemetery of Medina Munawwara. He made dua for the people of Jannatul Baqiyah. Allahumma ghfirli ahli Baqiyah al-Gharqad. Ya Allah, forgive all the people that are in this Baqiyah. It was a night time when he came back home. Aisha radiallahu anha had a very severe headache. And she was saying, Wa ra'sa, oh my head, it's hurting me, it's very painful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time said to Aisha radiallahu anha, Bal ana wa ra'sa. But Aisha, you don't know about my headache that I have at this time. It's more severe than yours. That was the beginning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness that led to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death.
It was in the month of Safar.
As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, health situation was getting worse and worse. Finally, it was a time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not come to the masjid to lead the salah. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fainted when he became conscious and he got his senses back. He asked, have people performed the salah? He said, no. He started making the wudu, and as he was preparing for salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fainted again. It happened many times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Ask Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. I cannot go for the salah. Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anha, both of them were there. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Aba Bakrin rajulun raqeeq. Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr's heart is very soft. If he would stand at your place to lead the salah, he won't be able to recite the surahs. He will keep on crying. Ask Umar radiallahu anhu to lead the salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meanwhile became unconscious. Little later, when he became conscious, he asked, have people performed the salah? No, Ya Rasulullah. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Umar will be better. I'm saying, ask Abu Bakr to lead the salah. Aisha Hafsa radiallahu anha also said, Ya Rasulullah, if Abu Bakr will lead, he won't be able to recite. He'll keep on crying. Ask Umar to lead the salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted that I want Abu Bakr to lead the salah. So finally, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was asked to lead the salah, and he led the salah. From there on, up to the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in between, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to go for some prayers. This was 5 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. But altogether, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led 17 prayers in that period, in those 5 days. Which was another sign that if I am not there, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would lead. He would stand on the musalla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and no one else. After a few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked some sahaba to carry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take him into the masjid. He wants to give his final message. They picked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from both sides. He went and he sat on the minbar. The first word Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after hamd and thana, إِنَّ عَبْدًا خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. There is a person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a choice to live for longer or to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chose to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knew what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. The only person that could be secrets, that can understand and figure, get the secrets of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who started crying and he said, Fidaka abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah, we are willing to sacrifice our parents, anything you need in this life ya Rasulullah, we cannot stay without you ya Rasulullah. One of the Sahaba said, at that time I started thinking to myself, what happened to Abu Bakr? Something is wrong with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he's crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give us any nasiha. He did not tell us anything very important. He's telling us that there was a person, or there is a person, that had a choice to live longer or to go back, and he chose to go back. But we didn't know that that person was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we realized that, oh, this person is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a short khutbah and he went back to his home. it did not take long after that and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. At that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in one of the suburbs of Medina Munawwara. It was Monday. He had gone into one of the suburbs of Medina Munawwara. He was informed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. He came to Medina Munawwara and he saw everything as upside down. Sahaba is standing outside of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home. Masjid is crowded. Umar radiallahu anhu is standing with the sword. That I don't want to hear the word that he had passed away. He had gone for something like Isra and Mi'raj. He had not died yet. He'll come back. I don't want to hear the word that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done. And all the Sahaba, they really don't know what to do. Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma are one of the greatest Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, sitting in one of the corner of the masjid, they were crying too. Everyone is taken by the surprise. They don't know what to do now. And Umar is standing with the sword. Is Umar right? He's one of the great people. Is he right? They hope if he's right. Every Sahabi hopes that Umar would be right. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back. Something that they cannot imagine that they would leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew it even before. A year before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, he was sending Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen as the governor of Yemen to go and teach people Islam in Yemen. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking with Mu'az radiallahu anhu, and Mu'az radiallahu anhu is leaving, departing for Yemen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'az, Ya Mu'az, لعلك لا تراني بعد عامي هذا وسترى مسجدي وقبري. Mu'az, you may never see me after this time. Next year as you come back, you may never see me. وسترى مسجدي وقبري. You will see my masjid, you will see my grave. فبكى معاز جشع. Mu'az رضي الله عنه started crying loud. How can a Sahabi think that I would not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again in my life? فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معاذ. He said, يا معاذ, don't cry. إن أولى الناس بي المتقون من كانوا وحيث كانوا. معاذ, I'll give you the rule of the life. The closest people on the day of judgment will be those who are God-fearing, whoever they might be and wherever they might be. Hold strongly to taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be with me on the day of judgment. And we cannot live in this life forever together. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his death, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came back, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu to sit down. And Umar radiallahu anhu, of course, is out of his mind at that time. He doesn't want to sit down. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the person who was able to control the situation. He went up on the member. He said, Ijlis ayyuha rajul. O man, sit down, or at least be quiet. Let me talk now. Umar radiallahu anhu said, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu talked to me like this, I started thinking to myself, what am I doing? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started his khutbah. أيها الناس من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Whoever was worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can turn away from thee. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have died. But if you people were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not died, will never die. Then he recited the ayah, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just one of the messengers. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. Many prophets have died before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he would die or he is killed, are you going to turn away from deen? وَمَن يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Whoever will turn away from deen, he will not be hurting Allah, he will be hurting himself. وَسَيْجِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Umar radiallahu anhu said, hearing this ayah, I thought that my feet have no strength to carry me anymore, and I fell down. And it was just like if I have heard this ayah for the first time in my life. Reciting the ayah thousands of times in his life, he never thought that this ayah is telling him that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will depart one day. Just like in our situation, we all know that all of us have to die. But God forbid one of us will get the message at this time that wife or husband or son have gone. It will be something that we have never thought about and never click in our mind that we will lose this person in our life. And this person can die so fast. Anyway, after the situation, then it was the time to prepare the janazah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to do the greatest job after that, which was preparing or assigning a khalifa in Islam, inshaAllah, we will talk about those steps in our next session, that what happened after this, how did they solve those things, and how, what was the role of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in that situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'een and the great people of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin wa al-muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.